Hey, everybody, today in the Charlie Kirk Show, an Ask Me Anything episode, What is the Woke? I also take a couple calls from you about many different topics, Ukraine and others as well. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Support our show at charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school chapter or college chapter at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, so I want to play some pieces of tape. We've got a lot of questions here. Someone says here, Charlie, my question is, do you think that someone is trying to destroy this country? Because I do. We're being lied to about the border, being lied to about COVID, or being lied to about inflation, or being lied to about these banks. We're being lied to about gender mutilation, being lied to about the border. I don't know if I already said that, but we're being lied to about everything with this administration. I'll be listening to you for an answer. Yes, I do believe that there is an intentional effort to destroy the country. They want a different country than what we are living in, a different America than what we experience. They want a postmodern, post-structuralist country with a completely different approach. They want to try to remove and vanquish the promise of the American founding. The promise of the American founding is very simple, that all men are created equal, that there is a creator and you are not him, that power must be separate. Separation of power is consent to the governed. Having an independent judiciary, and that if you work hard, you're going to be rewarded, and that your immutable characteristics should not define you. Your agency, your action, your decisions, your merit, your character, that's how we should design a society. That's the promise of America. It's also a country that is not a colony, that we should make decisions to serve our homeland over that abroad. We call that America first. It's very simple. Unfortunately, our leaders don't understand that. So yes, I do think we're living through an intentional downfall of America. Donald Trump made some headlines and Joe Scarborough went through it. Do we have the full clip here with Trump saying this? But we'll play the Scarborough response first. This is Joe Scarborough on the Trump video on what is actually destroying America. Trump loves America so much that he's willing to speak openly about the insidious forces that are at work within. Play cut 84 of a small piece of Donald Trump's talk and Joe Scarborough responding. Play cut 84.
But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the Marxists who would have us become a godless nation worshiping at the altar of race,
blah, blah, and gender. And you know what's boring to me? What's boring to me is the hatred for America. Yeah. The hatred from America that you hear spewing from Donald Trump's mouth. Donald Trump hated America before he became president of the United States.
He didn't say he hated America. He said the biggest threat to the country that we love are people that hate America, Joe Scarborough. He said that it's ourselves. It is the America-hating Marxists within our own country. And he's exactly right. Donald Trump is exactly correct. The Marxists in America are a bigger threat than Vladimir Putin. Let me say that again. The Marxists in America are a bigger threat to our nation, bigger threat to our republic, a bigger threat to our future than the Kremlin. I don't like Vladimir Putin. I don't like Russia. There's a lot of things I don't like in the world. You have to be honest about the threat to your civilization. Donald Trump loves America so much, he's willing to speak openly and honestly about the threats in front of us. Marxist university professors are doing more damage to the future of America than some Russian agent in the Kremlin. Lincoln once said, the only danger that America really needed to fear would come from within. Quote, if destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of freemen, we must live through all time or die by suicide. And it pains me to say that America is committing a slow motion suicide. We are doing this to ourselves. And that is exactly what Donald Trump pinpointed in the video. Why did Scarborough get so upset about that? Well, he misrepresented what he said. He gets upset because as a neoliberal, which MSNBC is one of the neoliberal networks, you're always supposed to make the threat, the focus abroad. If there is one thing that ties the neoliberals together, it is ignore the homeland, obsess about the foreign. Ignore the immediate, obsess about the abstract. 100,000 people dying of drug overdoses? Come on, that's not a big deal. The bigger deal is Zelensky and Putin. When that could be a big deal for you. I don't certainly understand how you could believe that in pro-American way. Adam Kinzinger responded to Donald Trump's video. And he said, Donald Trump is blame America first. No. The Marxists are the ones trying to bring down America. If you're not honest about the cancerous tumor that is in your body, then how are you ever supposed to remove it? If you're not honest about the virus of the pathogen of the woke, then how are you supposed to ever push back against it? Donald Trump loves America so much, he's willing to tell the hard, plain-spoken truth and then actually willing to do something about it. And the willing to do something about it is critical. He's willing to put his wealth at risk. He's willing to put his reputation at risk. They're talking about multiple indictments that might come next week. No coincidence that they're trying to do this as Donald Trump is gaining support, gaining in strength. How many people running for the presidency are willing to actually say that the Marxists in America are a bigger threat than the Russian Kremlin? I say it all the time, but I'll say it again. The Marxist professors pose a bigger threat to the American homeland and to liberty and to freedom than Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. I'm not saying that the Kremlin is no threat. I'm not saying it's a zero threat. But if you had to rank it, which one matters more than anything else, then you have a hierarchy. And then you have to prioritize the more immediate threat. The analogy that is commonly used, and it's a perfect one, it's like you're trying to rearrange the messy deck chairs on the Titanic. You have a much bigger issue going on here. A lot bigger. And by the way, just as we're talking about Donald Trump, show me a man without any wounds and I'll show you a man I do not trust. Of course, Donald Trump has faults. Everybody has faults. But do we spend an equal amount of time talking about his virtues, talking about his attributes, talking about his courage, talking about his dedication, his work ethic, his perseverance, his endurance? Right now, Donald Trump is better reflecting the conservative base than any time I've seen him since 2015 and 2016. Donald Trump's videos, his statements, his tweets, well, his social media postings, Donald Trump's rallies, whoever is advising him is doing a fabulous job of listening to what the base wants and hitting it perfectly. All right, every time I feel like I'm meeting somebody new, I am learning how many people are also on PhD weight loss. So look, a lot of people come to us to partner with our show and to work with us. And PhD weight loss came to us and they said, listen, we want to work with you, but we want to first have you go on the program for a month. I said, sure, fine, of course. And had an opening conversation with Dr. Ashley Lucas, and their philosophy is different than anything I ever heard. And look, it's hard to lose weight. It's very hard to keep weight off. I mean, with the crazy schedule, especially when you're traveling as much as I do. And so for a month, I've been on this program, and it's really interesting. And the results speak for themselves, already down 6 pounds. And for those of you that are trying to lose weight, listen very carefully. So this is called PhD Weight Loss, and the program is very simple. Dr. Ashley Lucas, founder, she's amazing. She has a whole team, and they customize a plan just for you, works with your schedule. They don't really believe in calorie reduction. They don't believe in all the kind of typical sound bites that you hear. They look at all your medical history. They talk with you. They personalize it. And they also send you the food, and so it's super easy. It's right there. And then you get a personal coach, and I could tell you, for me, my coach, she's tough. She's great. and she knows her stuff, and that's exactly what I need, but also very compassionate and caring. And again, they provide you 80% of your food at no additional cost. They treat your entire person. And Dr. Ashley believes that all the change starts with the mind. And so she helps you change your behavior and think differently about food so you'll never gain this weight back. And look, one of the things I like best about PhD Weight Loss is they're very understanding about where you're at in life. It's not judgmental. It's not like you're some sort of side project. You get your own coach, literally, if you do this. And then you get food on top of it. The best thing about this program is they have an 85% success rate of their clients maintaining their weight loss for life. I have no idea how much fat I'm going to lose, but hopefully more. And obviously, you know, it's not easy to do that, but they are able to guide me through it in a very successful and effective way. I think they could do it for you as well. No joke. I literally have my call with the coach tomorrow and looking forward to kind of maintaining and hopefully accelerating that success. They have a lifetime maintenance plan to keep you on track, and maintenance is free. One of the most important things you could do for your overall health is to lose weight. And it's not easy, right? No judgment. I know it's hard. You're running a million places. So you should consider PhD Weight Loss. Not only have I vetted them, I'm working with them, and I think they're really onto something here. I think they could really help you out. If you're looking to lose weight and keep it off forever, go to myphdweightloss.com. That is myphdweightloss.com today and sign up for your consultation. Better yet, give them a call right now at 864-644-1900. Again, that's myphdweightloss.com. I'm on a journey to hopefully lose more weight, and I want you guys to check this out, okay? It's myphdweightloss.com. If I can do it, you can do it. That's 864-644-1900. And it's empowering. They work with you. They understand if you have food allergies. They're compassionate. They're clear. But they also help you really be held accountable to the standard that you want to go. So go to myphdweightloss.com. Check it out. I'm a believer in their program. I think they're really onto something. MyPhDWeightLoss.com. Let's go to Michael from Texas. Has a question about Ukraine. Michael, how you doing?
I am so happy to talk with you because I'm with the live chat. And this Ukraine business, I think it's just a distraction from Trump. Because Trump is, he's not part of the swamp, you know. And they've got to find something to distract us from what's going on over here.
I hear you.
A lot of it has to do with just taking our mind off of what's going on here so we don't notice that we have an imbecile in office and a vice president who's out to lunch.
Let me ask you, how do you feel about Republicans that have now spent $200 billion to Ukraine? What is your opinion of Republicans that do that?
It pisses me off. If I can't say that word on radio.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, it pisses me off because they're just as bad as Democrats. They take money from lobbyists and they say they're going to do this and do that. They have all these congressional meetings and, investigations and nothing gets done. Nothing. So what makes them any different from Democrats? They talk a lot, but they don't do anything. And I'm really getting sick of it. And I certainly don't want to go to Ukraine and fight another person's war again. It's tiring.
It's tiring.
I'm sick of Republicans.
It's depressing because the sentiment you're articulating is the conservative base. And yet your leaders and your representatives continue to spend $200 billion. And so you're in Texas. Is that right?
That's correct. And you know what, Charlie? I'll tell you about our current military. I spent 20 years in special operations, and I've seen a lot over my time. And what I've seen is our leaders have become so woke. It is disgusting. I would never serve in today's army. I'd probably end up in the stockade because I would not follow the orders that they would give me. It's just so horrible what's going on with our military, our Republican Party. I'm disappointed. And I've been a Republican my whole life. I'm disappointed.
They don't listen to their voters. They have contempt for you. Michael, God bless you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate
it. I do have one more question, Charlie.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com or give us a ring. We're going to take some calls. It's a lot of fun. I love hearing from you. And the sentiment is directly what I expected. Washington, D.C. Republicans don't care that their voters think it's a mistake to spend $200 billion. Okay, I wanted to find woke. I want to play this piece of tape. She's a sweet person, Bethany Mandel. She should have been more prepared for this. And look, it's hard. You get put on the spot unless you host a radio program or a TV show. It's difficult to always, you know, have an answer. I think if she was asked to answer that as an op-ed, she would have done it, but she just kind of got a little twisted. Cut 92, Bethany Mandel got asked a question by Brianna Joy, who I've debated, actually. You guys should find that debate at Turning Point USA's YouTube. Play cut 92. She gets asked the question of what is woke.
Would you mind defining woke? Because it's come up a couple times, and I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So, I mean, woke is sort of the idea that this is going to be one of those moments that goes viral. I mean, woke is something that's very hard to define, and we've spent an entire chapter defining it. It is sort of the understanding that we need to totally reimagine and redo society in order to create hierarchies of oppression.
What bothers me about this clip, and it's painful to watch, is it makes us conservatives look stupid. Okay. It makes as if we don't know what we're talking about because we say woke all the time. So we're going to dive into actually what woke is. Here's the best definition. Call everything systemically unjust until you control it. That's woke. Where does woke come from? Woke comes from a particular activist who was wearing stay woke, get woke t-shirt, colloquially, that was spread on Twitter. What was that guy's name? Del Rey or something, where you have now been awoken to all the systemic injustice, almost as if now you have the glasses and you can see the fault lines. You can see the fissures. You've awakened to the injustices. Before you were asleep and now you are awake. That is what the idea of woke means. But wokeism is tyrannical Marxism by another name. That's what it is. It is prioritizing race over merit. It is prioritizing characteristics that mean nothing. It is a full-throated negative campaign against the founding of America. Wokeism is a campaign and crusade against people that they think are oppressors and turning people to believe they're victims and then have the victims victimize others. So the woke is a catch-all term that I heard a activist, a plumber, tell me the best. He said, Charlie, you know what woke is? Idea is so insane, you have to go to a college campus to believe it. Nova Gold Investments is pleased to let you know that gold is the best investment class for 2022. Real estate, crypto, stocks, and bonds. Gold outperformed all of them in 2022. Nova Gold Investments helped thousands of clients buy real physical gold. According to longtermtrends.net, gold outperformed the S&P 500, Dow, and Bitcoin in 2022. Had you invested in the S&P a year ago, you'd be down more than 20%. If you invested in Bitcoin a year ago, you'd be down more than 65%. If you invested in the Dow a year ago, you'd be down almost 10%. Yes, gold has outperformed them all in 2022, and silver was not far behind. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of others by opening a gold IRA or silver IRA with Noble Gold Investments. Invest with Noble Gold Investments before the end of this month, and you'll bag a free 1/4 of an ounce American Gold Eagle coin with every qualified IRA of $50,000 or more. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments and their thousands of five-star reviews. Call Noble Gold Investments at 877-646-5347 for a no-pressure consultation, only conversation. That is 877-646-5347. If you're not ready to invest, download the Noble Gold Investments Gold Investment Guide. Scroll down and you'll find the link on our description box. You need to scroll all the way down in the box to find the link. Check it out, Noble Gold Investments. Okay, just a little more on the woke. Look, I could go on at length about One Dimensional Man by Herbert Marcuse. Could go at length about the philosophical roots. Our team doesn't think it's that helpful. It really is kind of post-60s radical feminism and post-structuralism and post-modernism. The term woke is kind of a grab bag. It's a grab bag of activist causes, issues, slogans, symbols, and demands with a couple through lines, which is if you are in the front runner of the oppression Olympics, you're able to then become a oppressor. So the oppressed are allowed to become oppressor under the kind of woke regime. Also, free speech is not a value that is allowed under kind of the woke world. And it's not just issues. I want to make that very clear. It's also how you approach them. And it's also the process of which you think. And so it's kind of a whole of life strategy. But there is not kind of a core canon of woke theology, which is why I think that clip was you know, hard to watch, but, you know, she's a sweet person. I feel sorry for her because, again, not everyone is able to just respond instantaneously. And the reason that there's not a core canon is because it's constantly changing, right? It's very immaterial. It cares a lot about how you think and especially emotionalism and how people feel. And that's why it polices speech so unbelievably hard, and not just speech right now. They do things like dig up your statements from 10 years ago to find the thought crime. But yes, there are some serious academic traditions that play into this. Critical race theory. You could go read Critical Race Theory by Stefanik and Delgado, Intro to Critical Race Theory, written in 92 or 94. You can read Derek Bell. You can read Marcuse and Foucault. So no speech, no absolute truth. Definitely a preference on this kind of critical race theory. Queer theory is also a big player in it, but it is fluid by design. I mean, look at how Antifa went from George Floyd to defending drag queen shows for kids. It's what? How does that happen? It goes from one thing to the other. I think that's such an important point that Antifa was able to pivot from protesting anti-racism to now the biggest thing that Antifa gets fired up about is any comment about the trans community, any comment about the, let's just say, idea that there are only two sexes. And it's immaterial in the way that woke politics are overwhelmingly concerned with the linguistic, symbolic, and emotional, to honestly the detriment of the material, the economic, and the real. That's from Freddie DeBoer, really smart person, who's actually a liberal anti-wokey. There's a great book that James Lindsay wrote with Helen Pluckrose called Cynical Theories. It does a really good job of articulating this. My only complaint, and I told James this and he laughed, is that it's written too much from a left-wing perspective. It's like liberals criticizing the woke left. This is so silly. It also has Marxist elements to it. And so if I had James Lindsay on here, he'd say, Charlie, you cannot forget the most obvious. And that's what I wish Bethany Mandel in that clip would have just said, it's Marxism under a different name. That would have been an appropriate answer. That would have been excusable, right? And it is. It is Marxist power dynamics because it's Marxist power dynamics repurposed and repackaged. Okay, so I'm going to get to another call here. David from South Dakota, who has comments about suing the Bee and might mention how he's going to become a supporter. David, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing great.
What's on your mind?
I was watching Flashpoint last night, and I saw that what the Sacramento Bee said about you. And I just wanted to encourage you to sue the Sacramento Bee because that's the only thing they understand.
That's they only understand and, power. Right. Yep.
Yeah, they throw out the lie, and then that's all a lot of people over here. I mean, there's people that still believe in the Russia collusion lie, you know?
That's right.
And, they'll start swearing at you for defending it, calling you names, you know?
I was
telling the guy that answered the phone, I told him that, my wife and I, we were already planning on, starting to donate. We donate to Prager. We donate to Lance Walma. He's pretty involved in the cultural issues and stuff. And we were already planning on donating to you because you're involved in the colleges. I'm actually 62, but I understand that, we basically have these, 40%, I think, of professors, last time I could find the information, they hide it from you, consider themselves to be Marxists, which
That's
is
right.
communism. People always say Marxism, but they don't want to talk about communism. But anyhow, so we see that you're getting involved in the colleges, well, you've been involved in the colleges. And, we got a whole, we have a couple generations that are brainwashed. So we're going to be starting to send you some money every month.
Thank you.
So we really
that
appreciate what you're doing and wanted to encourage you to sue the Sacramento Bee as much money as you can get out of them.
God bless you.
I know
man.
You'll use it for a good cause.
Thank you. We're going to do our best. And McClatchy, who owns the Sacramento Bee, they got plenty of money. And the chancellor of the university earns $800,000 a year. And I think the University of California system has some resources there. So we're going to play offense. God bless you. Thank you. And I love South Dakota, one of my favorite places on the planet. Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
Email
man.
Us freedom at charliekirk.com. Also get your call in. And by the way, I want to make clear, it's not about the money. It's not. If we win, well, Turning Point's going to be the big winner out of it and all that. It's fine. It's about the message. Okay, it's about the message it sends that you cannot lie about.
Oh, no, that's the only thing I understand. That's what they do. They use lawfare against us. We got
to email us freedom@charliekirk.com. This is an interesting call. I'm going to get to Ted from New Buffalo, Michigan. He has some comment about the change of definition of mental illness in medical care. Ted, thank you for calling. Tell me about that.
Mr. Kirk, thank you for taking my call and keeping up the continued fight. Happy St. Patrick's Day and Godspeed to all. I would submit to you that transgender surgery is rooted in the idea that mental illness can be cured by permanently maiming the patient, because the patient is IDing the malady and the doctor's not talking about mental illness.
Yeah, and so it used to be gender dysphoria, and now it is. They no longer do that. They no longer believe it can be treated clinically, and it now has to be done through chemical castration and other means. And
Mr. Kirk, what's even worse is you're telling God you made a mistake.
Yeah, that's
no, he came down exactly as Billy. Right.
Yes.
He should have been Billy Jean. Don't worry, God. It must have been Friday at the plant. We got your back. We'll correct it.
Yeah.
Now, as a Greek man, I have a great level of narcissism, but it's never been that high.
No, it's there's two types of dangerous people in America. People that believe there is no God and people that are very angry at God. And I'm not sure which is more dangerous. God bless you, Ted. Thank you so much. Let's play Cut 91.
God bless you, God.
This is a mother of a trans youth. We tweeted out, if you're 18 and you think you're the opposite sex, you have a mental illness. If you're 8 and you think you're the opposite sex, your mother has a mental illness. Play Cut 91.
Hi, I was once a trans youth, and now I'm a happy 22-year-old trans adult student at New College of Florida. This is my health care.
Ma'am? Okay.
Don't tread on it.
Senator Yarbrough has militarized the Florida GOP into the genital Gestapo. Ron DeSantis wants trans people dead. You are committing genocide.
I grew up in Germany in the aftermath of Nazis, and what you people are doing is no different. This is transphobic, it is cruel, and you really should be ashamed.
It is cruel to prevent children from being able to be preyed on by predators. We're talking about children here, okay? Children. We're talking about children. Cut 96, Biden Assistant Secretary Levine says gender-affirming care is here to stay, and the Biden regime will use force their popularity, well, they don't have any popularity, whatever support that they have, but power to make sure that an 8-year-old can chemically mutilate themselves. Play Cut 96.
As we look to all the different elections in 2024, I think the next 2 years are going to be challenging, but I am positive and optimistic and hopeful that the wheel will turn after that, and that this issue won't be as politically and socially such a minefield. In the meantime, I can say that the children that you serve, and the young people that you serve, their families, and you all as their providers have supported the highest levels of the federal government. President Biden supports you, and he has articulated that support for the children and families.
Believes it will be normalized. The regime is saying that this type of care, which is medieval at best, is going to have the top levels of support. This is the new fight. Most Republicans don't have the stomach for this. You guys better get ready. This is as big as it gets. This is the fight for our kids, the fight for decency, the fight to contain the social contagion. It's the fight for our civilization. And, you know, some Republicans say, oh, Charlie, come on, the trans thing is a distraction. No, you're a distraction. The trans thing involves so many fundamental building blocks. Language, freedom of discourse, biological reality, commitment to the truth, men and women, distinctions, differences. It and all of them kind of find its way into the trans issue. What is a child? Should children's innocence be protected? Sexual predators targeting our young women. The trans thing is not just about live and let live. That is a weak one-liner that is said far too often. By the way, as we've said before, it's not live and let live. It's live and let them rule. The trans issue is now a, what's the best way to say it? It is a combination of multiple important other cultural issues that all kind of meet at once. It is an intersection. That's the word I was looking for. And you might not have the stomach for it. If you don't have the stomach for it, you don't have the stomach to protect kids. You don't have the stomach to speak truth. Oh, let's just talk about tax rates. You're a coward. Get out of the space. Alba Rueda International Woman of the Courage Award, man. Rachel Levine, U.S. Today Woman of the Year, man. Thomas, nominated for the 2022 NCAA Woman of the Year, man. Faye Johnstone, Hershey's International Woman Day honoree, man. They're just going to keep going until we stop them. And how do we stop them? We stop them through confronting the lies. Dialogue, discussion. They're the violent ones. We've always been peaceful. No matter how much they lie about us, we're the peaceful ones. But we're also not going to give an inch. We're going to pass the laws. We're going to shut down pediatric gender-affirming clinics across the country using laws. What does success look like? There should not be a pediatric gender-affirming clinic in America. It'll take a while to get there. But in red states, they need to be shut down one after the other, after the other, after the other. Charlie, I know that you're studying the book of Exodus. Any additional insights lately? Would love to hear them. You know, it's interesting, kind of, yes, I am going through the book of Exodus, and it is a fabulous book. And it's really clear that a lot of Christian pastors have not seriously studied the Old Testament. And it's been a while since I've really navigated through Exodus 2 and Exodus 3, which of course is the transition, as we mentioned on a previous episode, and then there was a king who did not know Joseph, which basically is the root of ingratitude and memory, losing the memory of how things once were and what Joseph actually did for the then Pharaoh. We did a whole kind of thing on that. What's been really interesting is how amazing of a person that Moses is. You can see why he was chosen. You can see he stands up for the innocent. And, you know, there's one piece here where a lot of traditional scholars think that Moses acted incorrectly. And that's probably the right reading when Moses killed a man who was beating up a Jew. But he didn't go out of his way to murder him. The verse basically says that Moses got heated in the conflict. And then Moses stood up for a group of women that were being terrorized. And then Moses then tended to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And then God presented himself in one of the most incredible dialogues in the entire Bible. He said, "What is your name? What should I tell them? Who sent me?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That is what you are to tell the Israelites. I am has sent you. That's powerful on multiple levels. It's powerful because it shows that there's a future, a past, and a current, that it transcends time, and our human-sized brains can't comprehend that. But secondly, it's powerful in the sense that when Jesus said, "I am the great I am," that is hearkening directly back to what God himself called, self-identified. I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So I'm getting a lot out of it. I encourage you guys to study it. And if you guys have specific questions on that, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Charlie, I need some career advice. Hey, Charlie, I've been looking into starting a business that is politically involved. What I'm trying to figure out is whether or not it should be a nonprofit or a for-profit. Any advice? I would like to be doing live events, talking policy and culture. Yes, you should try to go to the for-profit route. We need more patriots and more people with conservative ideas to start for-profit companies. We do. That are revenue generating, that are value generating, that are that are self-sufficient in nature. It's critical. And look, a lot of people ask me, Charlie, how do I get involved? The best way to get involved is not necessarily to write op-eds. The best thing you can do for the cause is actually to be successful. Start a business, be an entrepreneur, have a flourishing career. Then all of a sudden you hold the value that we are always envious that the left holds. You say, oh, wow, they have all this money and all this. Why does the left have so many great institutions? Well, they don't have great institutions. They control so many institutions. One reason is they have so much money. And so I think our best and brightest, yes, can get involved in politics, but our best and brightest also need to get involved in creating value in the private sector. It's incredibly important. The SPLC, the ADL, the ACLU, Aspen Institute all have a ton of money. Someone says here, Charlie, I wish you'd stop saying that people who do not believe in God are a problem in this country. I do not believe in God because I believe in common sense. I hate the idea of this country becoming communist. I voted Republican for 30 years. I also believe there will be peace. There will never be peace on earth until people stop blaming a God for their actions. I don't know if people blame God for their actions, but if you believed in common sense, you would believe in a God, because it takes a lot more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe in a God. But yes, if you believe there is no God, it largely then makes your actions unaccountable. There are some good atheists, of course. There are some people who do not believe in God that act morally and ethically like James Lindsay. But a society that does not believe in God, the question is then whom are you ever to be held accountable to? And if that answer is nobody, well, then you're in moral and societal chaos. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.